Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is April 21st, 2020, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Neurologist-Led Stroke Teams, Working 9 to 5. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Chuck Shepard. He is an attending emergency department physician at Mercy Hospital in Springfield, Missouri. And he's also the medical director for Mercy Lifeline Air Medical Service. He's been doing emergency medicine for over 4 decades and involved in EMS services for over 30 years. Welcome to the SGEM, Chuck.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm thrilled, and thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and we've known each other for a few years on and off. It was my good friend Chris Carpenter and Anthony Crocco that got to come down to do your Dr. Tom Steele annual conference a few years ago.
We did, and it was an awesome conference, and everybody was very appreciative of you guys coming down and educating us.
Well, when I was looking at that past conference that we did together, I found out that it had to be canceled for this year because of COVID-19.
Yes, we decided it was just, there was no way to have it this year. Plus, none of the speakers could travel anyway because everybody shut down.
Well, COVID has affected a lot of things and a lot of conferences have been canceled, but this is not a COVID-19 episode. I'm actually trying very hard not to directly cover the topic on the SGEM. There are a number of wonderful FOMED sites doing a good job. As part of a wellness initiative, I'm trying to keep the routine going by cutting that KT window down from over 10 years to less than 1 year by doing a structured critical appraisal of a recent publication. And so that's what we're going to do today. Chuck, give us a case.
A 56-year-old female presents with a sudden onset of left arm and leg weakness, slurred speech, comes into your emergency department. She was last seen well about 2 hours ago. Past medical history includes hypertension, type 2 diabetes. She's not on any anticoagulations except aspirin. There's no previous history of a stroke. And in your hospital, the neurology-led stroke team is not available. And you wonder if that will affect her outcome.
Well, treatment for acute ischemic stroke has been debated between neurologists and emergency physicians for a few years, like about 20. And there's been a recent pro-con debate on the subject that was just published in the Canadian Journal of Emergency Medicine in April 2020. And that was with Dr. Eddie Lang and myself.
It was the legend of emergency medicine, Dr. Jerome Hoffman, that really raised the concern about the lack of evidence for using thrombolytics in acute ischemic stroke. And I know you've interviewed him on more than one occasion, but on this specific topic, the episode was No Retreat, No Surrender.
Yeah, and we've covered acute ischemic stroke many times on the SGEM, and I'll throw a list in the show notes for everybody to see. But let's get to the clinical question.
The clinical question is, does the presence of a neurologist-led stroke team affect the likelihood of a patient receiving TPA, and does that improve a patient-oriented outcome?
Oh yes, we're always looking for a POO, a patient-oriented outcome. What's the reference, Chuck?
The reference is Juergens et al., Effectiveness of Emergency Physician Determinations of the Need for Thrombolytic Therapy in Acute Stroke. Proceedings of Baylor University Med Center, October 2019.
All right, you know the drill if you're an SGEMer. Let's run through the PICO. What was the population?
It was all the patients presenting to the ED meeting stroke activation criteria.
And what was the intervention in this case?
A neurologist-led stroke team managing the patient.
And what did they compare it to?
A no neurologist-led stroke team availability, so managed by the ED physician.
All right, let's run through the outcomes. What was the primary outcome?
The rate of TPA administration.
And how about the secondary outcomes?
Door-to-needle time, modified Rankin scale at discharge, change in the NIH stroke scale, and discharge disposition.
So the author's conclusions were, quote, emergency physicians administered significantly less thrombolytics than did neurologists. No significant difference was observed in outcome, including the modified Rankin scale and admission to discharge change in the NIHSS, end of quote. All right, let's go through the quality checklist, and this will be for observational studies. So the first question is, did the study address a clearly focused issue?
Yes, it did.
Did the authors use an appropriate method to answer their question?
Yes.
Was the cohort recruited in an acceptable way?
Yes, it was.
Was the exposure accurately measured to minimize bias?
Yes, it was.
Was the outcome accurately measured to minimize bias?
Yes, it was.
How about the authors? Did they identify all important confounding factors?
We're unsure about this. It was an observational study.
Was the follow-up of subjects complete enough?
Yes, it was.
And how precise are the results?
They're precise.
All right, and do you believe the results?
Yes, I do.
Do you think those results can be applied to your local population?
Unsure about that. This was obviously a specialized team, etc., so I don't know if that would apply to your place or my place.
And the 11th question, the final question, did the results of this study fit with other available evidence?
Yes, it appears to.
All right, let's get to the key results. There were 415 stroke activations during the study period. And that study period is important. It was from January 1st, 2015 to June 30th, 2016. And of those activations, about a third were managed by neurologist-led teams, and about two-thirds were treated by the emergency physicians. The median age was in the early 60s, with slightly more female patients in the cohort. Three-quarters arrived by EMS, and the median NIHSS score was 7 for the emergency physicians and 6 for the neurologist-led teams. The diagnosis was hemorrhagic stroke in about 10% of patients, while acute ischemic stroke was in 70% of patients. And then there was about 15% that were neurologic or psychiatric conditions, and 5% were considered other. All right, Chuck, what was the key result for this study?
Okay, their primary outcome, the neurologist gave TPA 13% more often than EM physicians.
Yeah, that was the primary outcome, looking at the rate of TPA administration. Can you give us exact numbers of the difference between the physicians that were emergency physicians and the physicians that were neurologist-led teams?
Yes, the EM physicians gave TPA 26.3% of the patients, and the neurologist gave TPA to 39.2%.
And so that's where we get that 13% absolute difference. How about the secondary outcomes?
Secondary outcomes, there was no statistical difference in modified Rankin score at discharge.
Now, there were some differences. One of the differences they did find in the secondary outcomes was the door-to-needle time was about 8 to 9 minutes faster with neurologist-led teams. So they did it in about 43 minutes, whereas the emergency physicians did it in about 52 minutes. There was no statistical difference in the NIHSS change, and there was also no statistical difference in mortality. It was about 6 or 7%. Those are the key results. Okay, Chuck, time to talk nerdy, my favorite part of the podcast.
Absolutely.
All right, so I will go with the first thing, and this is about being a single center. It was a single center study, and that may have unique practice patterns limiting its external validity to other practice environments. As someone who practices primarily in a rural environment, we transport our stroke patients code stroke to a higher level of care, or we use telemedicine with a neurologist who decides on TPA administration. So this single center may not apply to my practice situation. Do you think it applies to your practice situation, Chuck?
It does. We do have neurologists in-house and stroke teams in-house, so we're more similar to this. Okay, second nerdy point is it was a retrospective study, retrospective single-center study. Results, again, demonstrate association, not causation. There obviously could be unmeasured co-founders responsible for the observed differences in the results.
Yeah, and that's something that we always point out with observational studies, and in this case, it was retrospective. because you can have prospective observational studies as well. But looking at an observational study, and especially if it's only a single study, we really can't conclude causation. All right, the third nerdy point was when the patient was thrombolized. The neurologist led the team from Monday to Friday during business hours. And there could be a difference that was not measured on nights, weekends, and holidays. The baseline NIHSS score was 1 point different at baseline between the two cohorts. And we know that the severity of stroke at presentation has a strong influence on the final outcome. We also don't know if the radiology coverage after hours and on the weekend was any different.
The fourth dirty point is the time to thrombolysis and mimics. TPA was administered statistically earlier by the neurologist-led stroke team. Previous studies have shown that time is not brain, but it is possible they were thrombolyzing more TIAs or stroke mimics, as mentioned by Dr. Hoffman in his SGEM Extra episode. This could bias the study toward benefit.
And of course, to be fair, despite this potential bias, there was not a statistical difference in the modified Rankin scale score at discharge. All right, let's move on to nerdy point number 5. Yes, it is 5. And this is about the limited data that was captured with regards to harm. There were more deaths, and that's a modified Rankin scale score of 6, and more mortality at discharge with neurologist-led teams, but this was not statistically significant. They provided no information on intracranial hemorrhage, symptomatic intracranial hemorrhages, or other bleeds. It is hard to evaluate the net patient efficacy without this information on adverse events. Even if there was a small signal of benefit with neurologist-led teams, it could be offset by an increase in harm or adverse events. Given the data provided, we do not know what the net impact was in this retrospective single-center study. All right, that's it for nerdiness. It's time to give an SGEM bottom line.
Okay, the bottom line is neurologist-led stroke teams give more TPA, but it did not result in better patient-oriented outcomes in this study.
And how about a case resolution that you presented?
So based on this study, you can reassure the patient that the lack of a neurologist-led stroke team may decrease her chances of getting thrombolysis, a clot-busting drug, but that will probably not affect her outcome.
And how about the clinical application? How are you going to take this one single-center retrospective study and apply it clinically, Chuck?
Well, it appears that while a, quote, neurologist-led stroke team, quote, may be important for other reasons, it appears that the absence of one only decreases the chance of getting TPA, but probably doesn't affect the outcome.
And we should also state that it's unsure how a neurologist-led stroke team would impact outcomes in the new era of endovascular treatment as well. All right, so what are you going to tell your patient?
I'm going to tell my patient, you appear to be having a stroke, and we have a system in place to treat your stroke. Even though the neurologist-led team is not here at this moment, we will take good care of you, and the evidence we have is that your outcomes will probably be just as good as if the team was here.
All right, it's time to announce the Keener Contest winner. And last week's winner was Dr. Cindy Bitter. She is an assistant professor of emergency medicine at Washington University in St. Louis. Hey, that's in Missouri too. She knew dogs have 300 million olfactory receptors in their nose. All right, Chuck, what's the question this week?
What book did Dr. Robert Boyle, famous for Boyle's Law, write in 1661 that relates to this podcast series?
Ooh, you're dipping back into history, going back 400 years. All right, if you know the answer about what the title of Boyle's book was that relates to this podcast series, then send an email to thesgem@gmail.com with Keener in the subject line. The first correct answer will receive a cool skeptical prize. Well, thanks, Chuck, for suggesting this article and coming on the SGEM as a guest skeptic.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been an honor.
Well, we hope everybody stays safe during these COVID-19 times, but we still need to do one more thing, Chuck. you need to read the SJAM tagline. And I understand that Springfield is near the Lake of the Ozarks. And I've been binge watching that show, Ozarks. Fantastic show. Two thumbs up. So you need to do it in your best Lake of the Ozark, Missouri accent.
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next time.